Welcome to another message from LifePoint Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on LifePoint Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer that this message will help you live in focus every day. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
I want us to understand we aren't going to avoid hard issues that Scripture talks about. In the next 2 weeks, we're going to deal with a couple touchy subjects. I warned you a few weeks ago that we're going to be dealing with these. We're going to talk about gossip, and then next week we're going to talk about some issues of intimacy, of sex. And so it will be fun, and we'll shoot straight. It'll be with grace, but it'll be smothered in truth. And I don't want us to live by fleshly desires more than by godly passions. How many know our godly passions need to outweigh our fleshly desires? Amen? And so I want us to live in wisdom, not in foolishness. So today's topic needs to be talked about in local churches more than it is. Gossip is nasty. It's not your friend, and it doesn't make you a good friend. We're going to look at several scriptures in Proverbs. If you will, I told you to go to Proverbs. Mark Revelation chapter 12, if you would. That's where we're going to end this morning. I mean, the reality is with gossip is that if we're honest, too, I think all of us are a little bit enticed by it. It appeals to our carnal nature and small-mindedness. I mean, it's sensual, it's carnal, it's alluring. And here's the truth about church gossip. How many have ever heard church gossip? Really? No one has? It's like, will that be gossiping if I raise my hand? We've all seen it. We've all encountered it. We can just about justify anything that comes out of our mouth if we want to, if we are more church followers than we are Jesus followers, because we will do something like this. Hey, I need to talk to you. I have something that I want to ask you to pray about. Well, you know, Susie needs your prayers because Susie is pregnant, or whatever the scenario may be. And would you pray with her? And we aren't too wise sometimes in how we go about handling that. Some would even say gossip really isn't that big of a deal, is it? Come on. I mean, if you think about it, is it? It's just what we do. You know, if ESPN had a top 10 list of sins, I don't think gossip would be on it, Pastor Steve. Because we've become so accustomed to it. Where would it rank? Many feel like gossip, that God doesn't even look at it as a sin, or it's really not that big of a deal, that God would blink at it or wink at it. And not really, I mean, we won't look at all the Proverbs mentioning it this morning, but there's several statements in reference to our language and our communication with others and how God feels about that. I think gossip is a big deal to God. I don't think He sweeps it under the rug or allows us to excuse it. In fact, if we could take a bottle during World War II, many of you are familiar with it, it's a picture up on the screen, that it was such a big deal during World War II that the statement was out there, and those that would dare to share secrets, loose lips, sink ships. That is very costly, it's very destructive. So much so that it would sink some of our naval ships if secrets got out. I don't think God allows us to justify gossip or lets us off the hook. I think we're accountable for it. So let's answer this question. What is gossip? I think there's two things about gossip when we can define it this way. The first is this: when you tell the right information to the wrong people. There are things, how many know, one of the mottos that we live by, that we've drilled it into our kids over the years, that there are things you need to know, and there's things you want to know. And how many know, you can save yourself a lot of problems and a lot of conversations if you filter those conversations through that very statement. There's things that I need to know and things that I want to know. If you walk into a conversation that's going on, the question shouldn't be, what are y'all talking about? The question should be, is this something that I need to know, or is this something that I want to know? Because if I just want to know it, then often we position ourselves in a place where we don't need to be. Oftentimes people will say, hey, can't you handle the truth? I'm just telling the truth. I mean, gossip isn't just about spreading false rumors. Gossip can be made up of things that are true, but you tell them to the wrong people. Things people want to know and things people need to know. Who are the right people to tell? We'll talk about that a little bit later, but it isn't that you are to cover up people's issues or cover up their sins or stuff like that. There are things you are supposed to tell, but you tell them to the right people. When you have the right information but share it with the wrong people, guess what that is? It's gossip. The second definition of gossip that I want us to apply this morning is this: when you tell the wrong information to anyone. Barney Fife thing. How often do people say stuff that they are not absolutely sure of? If it's fact, it's just rumors, it's just junk. It's Facebook. Can I just encourage us and remind us to be careful what you post or what you repost or what you share on Facebook or any social media? Investigate it to make sure that it's true. If you don't know that it's absolutely true, then don't put it up there. Because you can look really foolish if you put stuff up there that's not true, that's just some slant on an issue that is just junk. Besides, you clutter the wall when you do that. It's wrong information, it's false information, and it's shared. That's gossip, and it's wrong. So gossip is when you tell the right information to the wrong people, and gossip is when you tell the wrong information to anyone. So, okay, what's wrong with gossip? Why is it such a big deal to God? There's several reasons. Let's walk through them this morning. The first is this: gossip reveals a lack of integrity. If you can't hold a confidence, it reveals a lack of integrity. Here's what Solomon had to say in Proverbs about that subject. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13 says this: a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. I was thinking back the other day when our kids were younger, and one of our boys wasn't too good at holding information. I loved it around Christmas time. Hey, man, what'd y'all give me for Christmas? And out it would come. I was like, high five, thank you very much. You know, or whatever the situation. And it got to the point where we would talk to them, hey, you can't do that. You need to stop that. You need to be able to hold information. And we would encourage them. And it got to a point one time where we were like, hey, we need to talk. We have to tell you something. He was like, no, don't tell me. I can't hold the secret. Don't tell me. Don't put that pressure on me. I'm glad to report that he's come a long way. You won't know which one it was, but it was just a fun childhood memory that we have of the importance of being able to hold a confidence. Let me ask you this morning. How many of you probably won't raise your hand because you didn't raise your hand on the question of if you've ever gossiped, but how many like to know things? You're just inquisitive and you investigate, you're curious, and you're just like, you know, into stuff. And not that that's bad, but what do you do with that information that you learn? The Lord says if you want to be a person of integrity, learn how to keep a confidence. Learn how to be discreet. Learn how to hold it in your heart and not share it. Because it's a big deal when somebody entrusts something to you, isn't it? It is essential that you hold it. It's essential that you don't share it. So gossip reveals a lack of integrity. There are many settings I find myself in. And the first thing that I do, one of the first things I do in those settings is just listen to the conversation. Listen to what is being said. Listen to who is saying it. Listen to what they're talking about. Knowing this, that if they're talking about a lot of people, guess who's the next one they're going to be talking about when I leave the room? And so, just some practical things. There are two ways to spread the news, right? Actually, three. The telephone, tell you, and put it in the records of the local newspaper. Rob and I were laughing. We were flipping open the newspaper and reading the police reports, and she was just like, oh, Jesus. Look at it, you know, and just some of the stuff that's in there is just funny. Makes you feel like you're living bigger. Take it to your closet. Take it to the Lord. It's an honor to be entrusted with words. Guard them and be a steward of them. Secondly, gossip destroys friendships. We can remember back in junior high and a friendships that were left in shambles, right? Because Johnny found out that you liked him. And it was your friend who told him. But history rings of relationships that have been ruined because of gossip. Issues and situations that weren't that big of a deal, but blew up because somebody spoke out. Gossip separates friends. The Proverbs says this in 16:28, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and gossip separates close friends. Why does it separate close friends? When you gossip about a friend, you lose their trust. You betray their trust. And the truth about trust is this. Trust is something that is hard to get, isn't it? Especially in this day and age. Within the church, I realize that I'm asking you to trust me as your pastor. And I realize how big of a deal that is. And I realize how long it takes to earn trust. Some of you have been to churches or you've had pastors that made some bad decisions and sabotaged that trust. To say I trust you is a big deal. To earn someone's trust is gigantic. And when trust is violated, it hurts. It takes a long time to get it back, doesn't it? Do you realize, again, what a treasure it is to have a friend? To be able to hold something. To have someone fight for you and stand with you. To hold a confidence for you. Because there are things in life that are too big for you to carry, too big for me to carry on our own. What a treasure it is when someone calls you and confides in you. It's huge. It's an honor. Gossip stirs up dissension and separates close friends. The third reason of what is wrong with gossip is that it corrupts us. Look at it, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8. The word of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. The New Living Translation puts it this way. Rumors are dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart. The Message paraphrase puts it this way. Listening to gossip is like eating cheap candy. Do you really want that junk in your belly? When someone gossips, that person who says the gossip, that person who hears the gossip and allows it to permeate them, something happens. When you choose to speak or you choose to hear gossip, you're opening up the door of your heart to the demonic and satanic influence in your life. You say, Steve, that's heavy, that's huge. Gossip's a big deal. You might as well be drinking poison. That's what the proverb is saying. When you hear it, or you speak it, when you entertain it, and you don't stop the person if you're hearing it, you allow it, or you at minimal, you risk it entering into your heart. We've said all through this series the things that are stored up in our heart, guess what eventually happens to them? Eventually they're going to come out of your mouth. Our mouth will always betray us. I find it true in my life today. And I'm a competitive person. And when I'm out, on a field of play, whatever it is, and I, one of the things that I'm constantly doing is watching my mouth, guarding my heart, because I know that if I get careless, I may make a mark that maybe off the cuff, but can be cutting. And so I talk to myself a lot out there on the fields, and they say, man, you need to do better, you need to do better, you need to shut up, you need to shut up, you just need to go sit on the bench. You need to retire. Because of the issue of how it can affect people. Your mouth will eventually tell on your heart. Life will squeeze what is in your heart out of your mouth, and it will tell on you. That's why it is so important for you and I to daily, and if I could get you all to do anything, it would be daily to find a place, a chair, and spend time with the Lord. Even if it's 15 minutes to separate yourself from the chaos of the day, from the chaos of the hour, and find a secret, sacred place and seek the face of the Lord. Even if it's for 15 minutes, so that you're filling your heart with life, because it's so easy to fill our heart with gunk. When you allow gossip and slander to stay in our heart, in your heart, it doesn't just corrupt you, though. It's going to corrupt other people. Other people will hear the gossip. And unfortunately, what happens, and we've all been victim of it, they hear it, they allow it into their heart, and now guess what? They're corrupt. Now guess what? They're looking at somebody that they used to like, and now all of a sudden they're looking at them with a cocked neck, with a different perspective. It's destructive. And it is so damaging. It's a big deal. It goes down to your inmost being like cheap candy. Here's the fourth thing about gossip. Gossip is divisive. Proverbs 26:20, without the wood, a fire goes out, and without gossip, the quarrel dies down. How many of gossip keeps stuff stirred up? Keeps people angry. It divides people. It destroys the unity of your home. It destroys the unity of the church. It reminded me as I was preparing this week of we've all heard stories of gossip that have happened within churches, and the destruction that it has caused within the body of Christ through not just recent years, but through decades and centuries. Reminded me of a church that we served as youth pastors, and it was going through a hard time, and there was a lot of conflict within the church, and we were going through a transition, a pastoral transition, and somebody went to the local paper and bought an ad invented in the local paper. I thought, really? That's how we do it? And I was young at the time, and just the pain and how that wounded so many people. We have to be mature enough to squelch it and not allow it to have a foothold. Because how many of them, no one wins when gossip is playing. Right? Just look at your neighbor real quick. It's kind of quiet in here. Just say, you're not going to win.
You're not going to win.
All right? The early church, the first century church, had a real low tolerance towards gossip. In Titus chapter 3, verse 9, Paul exhorts Titus. He says this, but avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Verse 10, warn a divisive person once, and then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. You may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. I mean, that is strong. That might offend some people. The early church realized that there was power in unity. And it wasn't in that realizing that it doesn't mean that they weren't going to deal with stuff. The early church dealt with stuff. They took stands on issues. They lived and they proclaimed righteousness. The scriptures talk very clearly about confrontation and confronting people. It talks a lot about grace. It talks a lot about restoration. But the deal is, those things that will hold us together in difficult times is the unity of the Holy Spirit. And so whatever we can do, whatever we need to do, we protect the unity of the faith. We protect that because it's precious. That was an incredible place to say amen.
Amen.
Listen, it doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean that you act perfect and you try to pull the rug over people's eyes. Because none of us are. It means that we handle life and conduct our life by biblical precedents and not fleshly precedents. Our flesh wants to gossip. Our spirit wants to be redeemed. Work towards redemption, not division. Conflict can't be about who is right. The fifth reason gossip is wrong is this: gossip ruins reputations. How valuable is your name to you? I mean, the Rain's name means something to me. It better mean something to my boys. I mean, when our first son was born and I called my grandma, she was I can't remember how old she was at the time, probably 90 or thereabouts, 87 maybe, and I said, "Hey, Grandma, decided to announce to you that you have a new grandchild." And one of the first things she asked, she said, "Is it normal?" I said, "I don't know, he's not old enough yet." "Is he healthy?" "Yeah, he's healthy." "Or is it healthy?" "Yeah, it's healthy." "What is it?" "It's a boy." She was like, "Oh, yes, the Rain's name is to carry on." The name means something. Our son is on a mission trip, and our boys have been on missions. They've been privileged to be on mission trips the last several years. And one of the talks prior to departure is this: "Guys, your name means something." I tell my kids, "Your name, your last name means something. Team, your name, the Kansas Youth Ministry name means something. Represent that name well when you're on the field. In that area where you're ministering, represent the name." Gossip ruins reputations. How important is your reputation to you? A gossip has the ability to destroy a reputation like that. Something that someone has worked all of their life for can be destroyed by gossip. That's why we have to be so wise with whom we spend our time with. Great Proverbs 18:17 says this: "The first to present his case seems right until another comes forward and questions him." Can I tell a quick story? This reminds me of just how important this is. When we were pastoring in Goodland, I think I might have told this before, but I'll tell it again just in case I haven't. I had the opportunity to work for UPS during the Christmas season and wear all brown. I looked good in brown. It was awesome. And I was like, "Okay, yeah, that'd be fun." It was just a part-time work, 4 or 5 hours in the afternoon, so I'd get up early and do what I needed to do for the church and then go to work and run around in a brown truck. It was just cool. It was like a life dream. And I was doing that and just banking all the money. Christmas was coming. One of our individual in our church called Robin and was like, "Hey, Robin, I think you need to know something that's going on around town. You said about your husband and you. So-and-so said that the reason why Steve is going brown is that you guys are, he had an affair, and I think it was the rumor that he had an affair, and he's having to do that because you guys are in need of marital counseling."
Oh. What?
And so Robin just, she turned into the Hulk. She morphed and she got rabies real quick, and she was just like, excuse me, honey, I need to go downtown because this is the rumor that's going around and gets you wearing brown these days. And so she went and found the lady. And I think this conversation happened after Christmas, actually. And she went and found the lady, and she's like, excuse me, I heard this, and you said this, and this is my source, is it true? And Rob said, I'll have you know, before the lady even asked, he's like, shit, yeah. And I'll have you know that the reason why he was doing that was because he wanted to buy me a ring for Christmas, and this is the ring that he bought me, you know, and it was just like, I was like, wife, yeah! You know, but just think, if that would have been squelched, the damage it could have done, especially in a small community. But don't ever spread gossip about me, because I'll be robbed by you. Listen, gossip is demonic. Gossip is not interested in truth. Because the source of gossip is not the source of truth. The source of gossip is the father of lies. And he's not interested in truth or redemption. He's interested in stealing, killing, and destroying. So how do you stop gossip? I want us to listen. There are some things that you and I need to hate. And gossip is one of them. I want us to hate it. I want us to despise it. Jesus gives us some practical ways to deal with it. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, it says this. I'm just going to read it real quick. If a brother sins against you, you should go to him, to go and show him his fault. Just between the two of you, if he listens to you, you have won your brother over. Keep your friendship, in other words, because remember, gossip destroys friendships, but you keep it. Verse 16, but if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Verse 17, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. There's three steps real quick, and I'm going to just fly through them in dealing with gossip. Someone comes to you and says, listen, I need to tell you something. Did you hear? The first thing you need to do is to stop the conversation. And just ask this question. Have you gone and talked to so-and-so? Nope. I haven't. And don't tell me anymore, because I don't want to hear it until you go and talk to them. I'm not going to allow you to come and corrupt my heart by the things that you are about to say. Follow the principles of Scripture first. You can come to me, but when you can come to me, but when only when you do the first step. After you've done that, then we can talk. Go to that first person first. Don't skip that first step. It's like playing it out. Return to go, collect $200, start there, go back there, right? Stop them and direct them. Listen, everyone wants to skip the first step. That you and I have to do, and we have to be willing to do the hard things. Is it scary? Yes. Can it be painful? Yes. Will it bring the quickest healing? I want to submit to you, yes, people's hearts are right. Secondly, so you stop them, and secondly, you send them back to the right person. Stop the conversation, and then send them back. And then third, pray before they go. For example, you come to me and say, Pastor Steele, I need to talk to you, Pastor Jacob. Let me talk to you about Pastor Jacob. I'm worried that he's not a very wise person. He likes the Kansas City Chiefs and he has some issues. Or you come to me, whatever the scenario may be. You know what I'm doing? Have you talked to Pastor Jacob about this situation? No, I haven't. Well, listen, Pastor Jacob, he's a big guy and he looks really intimidating, but he's like, he doesn't even bark. What's it like? He's safe, man. You can go to him. talk to him. That is what Jesus, that's what Jesus told us to do. That's what how Jesus told us to handle this stuff. But before you go and talk to Pastor Jacob, hey, let me pray with you right now, because I identify, I understand, we've been in those situations, and it can be scary having hard conversations and going to somebody. So let's just pray. Lord, I pray that you would give him courage to handle this situation, give him wisdom, and I pray for unity in that conversation. Amen. And go. Go real quick. I told you to go to Revelation 12. Go ahead and hear this morning. Have you ever asked God about how he feels about this topic? What does God think about when he thinks about this topic? How does Revelation 12 fit into this topic of gossip? In the context, the author of Revelation is John, one of the apostles. He has seen the martyrs. He sees a picture that opens up in the heavens, and we read this in verse 7, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, referencing Satan. But he was not strong enough, and he lost the place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, and the ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. Notice this. When Satan was in heaven as an angel, one of the things that disqualified him was his constant accusations. What does God do to him? What does God do to the accuser? What does God do? How does he handle false accusations? He casts Satan out of heaven. He cast, when said before, Satan got the name Satan, he was an angel. And God cast him out of heaven. Now, verse 11 is absolutely huge because there's this switch in verse 11. John is talking about the martyrs who lost their life for their faith, and he writes this, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. How did they overcome the enemy? The blood of the Lamb. That's Jesus. And the word, or the words of their testimony. See, Satan would rather have you accusing others than sharing the testimony of what Jesus has done in your life or in other people's life. Imagine the power, imagine the unity, the beauty of the body of believers. Imagine the strength. I mean, the reality is that we all have warts, right? This isn't about, again, it's not about pushing away issues and not dealing with stuff. We're talking about redemption, not division. And the big idea this morning is there is a process of God redeeming us. And while at the same time there's this process of the enemy trying to divide us, how do you win the battle? How do you win that tug of war of your heart? You win it by the blood of Jesus and the word of your testimony. Stop the conversation. Send it back. But before you go and talk to them, let me just share something with you. Friend, I know it's hard to go back and talk to so-and-so, but this is what I found in my life. See, I had an issue. I had a situation going on in my life, and you just began to testify of times when you walked in obedience to what God had asked you to do in situations, and you saw God move and work in your life, and you began to share that testimony. And what does it do with that person, that fellow brother or sister in Christ that you're sharing your testimony with? All of a sudden, their faith is being built. Their faith is being encouraged. And they're like, yes, when you walk in obedience to the Scripture and to the Word of the Lord, life happens. God's about abundant life. See, redeemed people redeem people. Cleanse our heart, Lord. For it's the wellspring of life. Proverbs 4:22 says, listen, if there is a safe place in Valley Center, in Wichita, Kansas, it better be this place. Should be any house of the Lord. It should be a place where warts and all, that we can come and we can know that our brother, that our sister has our back. I'm serious. This is a big deal. And I know who I tell stuff to. And I tell oftentimes when I confide them with a situation, I'll tell them, in life groups we do it all the time, listen, I know who's in this room, and when people share an issue, we know who's in this room. And if I hear it somewhere else, outside of this room, outside of this group of people, we're going to talk about it next life group. It's fine if the source wants to share with other people, but this is a safe place. We protect, we fight for each other. We hold each other accountable. We build each other up because we overcome the enemy by the word of the testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Church, would you stand with me?
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.